Good morning, Bevel Road. All right, all right. Yes, sir. Okay, so our theme this week is Jesus makes life worth living. Some of you need to wake up this morning. I don't think you just heard what I said. Make sure I'm in the right place. Our theme this week is Jesus makes life worth living.
Amen.
And we are circumscribed here by the grace and mercy of God. This time last year, myself, my wife, and my mother were as sick as we have ever been. And as I told the brothers and sisters over at Florida School of Preaching, many of them prayed fervently for us. I know that Bruce and others in this congregation prayed for us, and it was by your prayers, the prayers of the righteous, that God allowed us to stand again. My mother was in the hospital for 8 days, 14 days in rehab. She does not remember what happened in those 14 days in rehab. My wife was so sick, she said that's the sickest she's ever been. And I know from God that it was the devil. Y'all hear me? Because we were supposed to talk about the family at the Florida School of Preaching. And that is my favorite subject. It's very, very important. And yet the devil tried to take all of us out in one fell swoop, and he failed. And he failed miserably because of the prayers of the righteous. And we thank God for the opportunity to be here with you this week. And we look forward to sharing Jesus as we have come to know and love him. Because I'm telling you, we're one day closer to the time when our Heavenly Father will come judge this world in righteousness.
Amen.
And I say, come, Lord Jesus, as soon as possible.
Amen.
So this morning, what we would like to do is to start our discourse in the form of a prayer. And that is, Lord, help me to control my temper and my tongue. See, you can't be a Christian unless you control your temper and your tongue.
Amen.
We have too many people who purport to belong to Jesus, who purport to be ambassadors for him, but they have potty mouth. And they haven't studied God's word. What you and I say reflects the faith that we live. And so that's why I want to start my discussion with you with regard to temper and tongue. Now, I know y'all don't have a problem with this here in Daytona Beach. See, I'm talking about the Christians in Jacksonville. See, we have a real big problem. We have some people in our congregation that'll tell me quick, you know, I shoot from the hip. I'll tell you just how I feel. I said, why don't you tell me how Jesus feels? I mean, I already see that look on your face. I know you got a problem. And so that's why I wanted to start the discussion at this juncture. Now, do you think that that's a good place to start?
Amen.
Yeah, well, half of y'all have woke up. That's good. Okay, so the power is found in God's word. And so what I would like to do is to read a menu of scriptures into your hearing that we will use as a foundation for our dialogue this morning. Now, if I go too fast, then I'll be more than happy to give these to you because I know you will want to go back and review these in your leisure. But right now, the focus is on the scripture. This week, I'm going to be studying with you from the New American Standard Translation of Scripture. Those of you who are familiar with translations know that this is an extremely reliable translation. It's accurate. And so that is what I'll be reading into your hearing this week. So right now, I call your attention to the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read these passages of scripture without any commentary at all, because sometimes we just need to hear what God has to say.
Amen.
And then once we have read all of these passages into your hearing, then we will start our discourse. So I'm in Proverbs chapter 17 at verse number 4 beginning. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Down to verse 7. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince. Verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. To verse 20. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. Verse 27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Verse 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Chapter 18 at verse number 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Verse 6. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Verse number 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. And finally, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. May God always bless the hearing and the reading and understanding of his holy and divine word. Amen. I start my discussion with you with regard to these passages of scripture because they keep me grounded. See, every once in a while when you get an opportunity to speak on behalf of Christ and you're blessed to go to places like this, and you put people up in the hotel that y'all have put me and my wife up in, and we, you know, you can actually start thinking that you're somebody. See? And so passages of scripture like this keep me grounded and remind me that it is only by the grace of God that we're ever able to do whatever it is that we're doing on behalf of Christ. And so in the book of Proverbs, if you hadn't noticed, as you study the book of Proverbs, there are three major issues that the proverb writer always discusses. That's how to handle your money. That's how to handle your mouth. And that's how to handle, what's the other M? Your morals. Now, I know that there are other things that are taught in that book, but those three continue to stand out. And so the reason why I wanted to start with those passages of scripture is because they remind me that I need to set a guard around my mouth. See, the quickest way that I can get in trouble and fall out of favor with God is right here. It's what comes out of my mouth. And so, let's see, what else do I want to put in front of you? We're going to go presently to the book of James, and we'll be looking at James chapter 5. But before we get there, I'm going to ask Mark Tomlinson, if he would, to turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I want you to hear verses 33 through 37. Now, this is Jesus talking, so anytime Jesus speaks, we should listen.
Matthew 12,
33. through 37. What does that say, Mark?
Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the fruit corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment.
Keep going.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified.
Yes.
By thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Wow. I know y'all know that's in the Bible, but I want you to know I know it's in there too.
Okay.
See? And so again, these passages of Scripture should keep us grounded in Christ. Are there people that you will run into that may cause you to want to say something that you shouldn't say, especially on your thoroughfares here in this city? Okay. Let me tell you, you can lose your religion real quick driving around here. Because these people are going to get to wherever they're going, and if you're in the way, then it's going to be on you. So we still have to be very, very careful. You know, when I was growing up, my mom would take me to Dr. Rogers. And I remember this as if it were yesterday. And Dr. Rogers would sit me up on the little couch there, and the first thing he would say to me is, "Stick out your tongue." And so I stuck out my tongue, had no earthly idea as to why I was doing that, but he knew what he was doing. Because I later found out that a good physician can look at your tongue and basically tell what kind of physical health you're in. And so this morning, I think we need to get before God and stick out our tongues, don't you?
All right.
I mean, just kind of stick it out there, and then we'll go to the scriptures and he can tell you what condition you're in this morning. Because what I may think and what you may think may not necessarily square with scripture. And if you're like me, you may find that you need a glossectomy. Because a glossectomy is a surgical procedure that sometimes excises pieces of one's tongue. It may be cancerous, it may be an issue where you can't speak appropriately, but sometimes a glossectomy may be in order. Does anybody happen to recall from the Old Testament where a spiritual glossectomy took place? I know as soon as I tell you, you're going to say, "Oh yeah, that's right, I knew that." Yeah, I'll give you a C- for trying. That's pretty good. How about Isaiah chapter 6? You remember that? In Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw who?" He said, "I saw the Lord." But you see, Uzziah had to die before Isaiah could see the Lord. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we put more trust and confidence in man than we do God. Amen, lights and walls.
Amen.
And that was probably Isaiah's problem. And at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, he himself said, the year that the king died, we put so much trust and so much confidence in him. But when he was moved out of the way, I saw Jehovah himself. And that's who I want to see. I want to pattern my life after God Almighty. Now, there are wonderful godly people, but I'm here to tell you, we need to aspire to live as close to the cross and Jesus and the Heavenly Father as possible. But sometimes people get in your way. They say things like, "Well, you know, this is what I think the Bible says." Well, I think the Bible can speak for itself. And the visitors that will come this week, when we open up the scripture, they're going to find that they are just as sharp as everybody else. Because if they're honest and if they're courageous, when they leave this week, they will be a Christian and a Christian only. Now, if you want to be something else, you got to go in the phone book and not in the Bible. Because in the phone book, they've got all kinds of churches. But in the Bible, the church with a Bible address, there's only one in here. And that's the church that belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I know y'all thought that I forgot where I was, but I wasn't. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train filled the room, and all the smoke, and the seraphim that was there, and the seraphim went over to the altar and took that hot coal. And what did he do with the hot coal? Put it on his lips. But before he put it on his lips, do you remember what Isaiah said? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. God said, well, I can fix that, bro. Yes, sir, I can fix that. See, before you start out on your trek to speak for Christ, you got to start right here. See, I know too many people. They're going to go out and they're going to fix everybody. See, my husband's not a Christian, but after I finish with him, he's going to wish he had been. I thought, well, he'll probably be packed after you finish with it. That's why we've got to set a guard around our mouths. I keep saying that, but it's so very important that if you want to speak for the Christ, if you want to truly magnify his name, it all depends on how we say things, and then we have to have the life that backs it up. So in James chapter 5, and you've studied this passage of scripture on several occasions, but I want to give you some points that you can put right beside some of these verses, and then when you go back and read them, hopefully you will be encouraged and you'll be able to tie some concepts with these points. I think that there are four functions of the tongue. Now, there are probably more, but I'm giving you these four because they're easy to read, they're easy to understand, and you can see them in the text as you go back and read them. In the first place, I would say that one of the functions of the tongue is to gauge, G-A-U-G-E. So in James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the tongue gives you an opportunity to gauge your maturity level. Somebody's going to have to be an adult in the room, right? I mean, if you've got a two-year-old and my wife and I are new grandparents, and our grandson is going to be celebrating his second birthday next month, Lord willing. So I'm going to go spend a whole lot of money on him, you know, because that's what you do, isn't it? Grandparents, isn't it? Yeah, you know, then somebody says, well, you have to be careful. Well, you be careful and I'll spend money. But anyway, so if he's acting like a two-year-old, then I can't act like a two-year-old either. I mean, somebody's going to have to be an adult in the room. And somebody says, yeah, but you can tell he's a two-year-old. Well, let me tell you something. I know some 50 and 60-year-olds who act like two-year-olds. Now, I know y'all don't have any here. I'm talking about Jacksonville. They have to have their way about it. They don't take their own Bibles and they go home. Well, James is saying, Bill, if you want to gauge your spiritual maturity, then you take a look at these verses. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect or mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well. That's why I'm telling you. It starts with the mouth. It starts with the tongue. And the tongue is tied in with my temper. So that's the first function that I would submit to you. In the second place, I would tell you that one of the functions of the tongue is to guide. And that's verses 3 through 5. Now, we have an opportunity to diffuse positivity, or we can go the other way with our tongues in verses 3 through 5. This is what the record says. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And I guess there may be some horsemen and horsewomen in here who are familiar with the bit and the bridle and how to ride them. And I think that it's just so fascinating to see this animal that weighs almost 3,000 pounds that can be controlled with a metal bit right on top of its tongue. And I guess sometimes when I want to say things that I shouldn't say, I should remember that there is a spiritual bit right on the top of mine. And Jesus has to yell so that I won't say something that will bring disparity on the name of Christ. Verse 4, look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Now I served in the Air Force, but I did work with the Navy about 50% of the time that I was in the service. And I remember reading about the USS Eisenhower and how magnificent that carrier is. We're talking 23 stories high. On the top deck, it was big enough to hold 90 aircraft, 4 elevators in that thing. Two anchors and chains and the links in the chain weighing 365 pounds each. That's just the links on the chain. And the rudder for a 23-story magnificent military structure only weighed 110 pounds. You could have knocked me over with a feather. 110,000 pounds, one little turn, and that entire massive vessel would turn just like that. You know what happens to a lot of our relationships that are broken beyond repair? It's because we were rudderless. We said things that we should not have said. And somebody says, well, yeah, but it was true. Was it necessary? Well, somebody had to tell them. Oh, did Jesus tell them? No, I told them. Well, that's the point. That's why, again, it was so very important for me to start my discourse with you this week about the tongue. And about temper, because Jesus will not make my life worth living if I don't have the right understanding as to how he should be represented. Here is the third function that I would put in front of you, and it's to gird, G-I-R-D. And this is found in verses 6 to 8. See, this is a very, very powerful force. It can either extend life or extinguish life. Some of you will remember, because you have gray hair just like I do, when I was in junior high school, if there was somebody that I didn't like and I knew they didn't like me, I'd tell them, well, you know, let's meet behind the school after we get out of class. So we'd go behind the building. You know, I'd roll up my sleeves. The other guy would roll up his sleeves, and I'd find a little stick on the ground, and I'd say, "Knock it off. I dare you." Well, he'd knock it off, and then we'd go at it for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'd go to my house and eat. But not today. You show disrespect today to a middle schooler, and he won't go get a stick. He'll go get a gun. And not only go get it, but come back and shoot you. A middle schooler. Based on something that someone said. My mom told me at a very early age, "Honey, your name is Billy Ray." Now, I was born in Texas, so that's why the Billy Ray thing, that, you know, it's nothing I could do about that. She said, "If somebody calls you anything other than that, you don't respond. Do you understand?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I understand." And the first time somebody called me something other than that, I went back to my mom and I said, "So why are people calling me things other than my name?" She said, "'Cause I had to get you ready." So when they use the N-word, or they call you Jungle Bunny, or they call you whatever, what are you gonna do? I said, "I'm not gonna respond, cause that's not my name." She said, "Baby, you've got to learn this lesson." Would to God that every mother and father would tell their child that. Because now, as soon as you say something, the trigger is tripped, and it's on. I worked in the academy, and students would be fighting, and I said, "Now, before you're suspended, because both of you will be suspended, so why were you fighting?" "Well, he called me," and I said, "Is that your name?" "What?" I said, "I'm not speaking Chinese. I ask you a question. Is that your name?" "No, it's not my name." I said, "Well, then why did you respond? Why did you retaliate?" "Yeah, because, you know, I didn't want any." I said, wrong answer. Then ask you what you thought other people were thinking. I'm talking to you. Why did you respond? You don't even know. And now you've brought shame and disgrace on your family. Because you're no longer welcome on this campus. Neither one of you. And they lost a great opportunity. And somebody says, "Well, Dean Davis, you were just too mean." I said, "If you don't like it, get another dean. But we're gonna do things right here." "Well, don't start preaching." I said, "Well, I might. You know, never can tell. You never can tell." Look there at verse 6. The tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. That word hell is also translated Gehenna. That's the only place outside the gospel narratives that you will find H-E-L-L. I mean, James, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is painting a picture that is so that he has to tell. It's just like being in Gehenna. Verse 7. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. I think the Authorized Translation says no man, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With the same tongue you bless your children as you send them on their way is the same tongue that you lash out at somebody on your job because they didn't get the report in on time. We are amazing, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And then here's the last function. I would say that it's to guard. So I've taken you from to gauge, to guide, to gird, and then finally to guard. That's verses 9 to 18. Because you're either going to create peace or you're going to reveal the hypocrisy in your life by what we say. Mark, I know you're going to believe this when I tell you. I got invited to a congregation, and first time my wife and I had been there, and I met this guy in the foyer, and he looked like he was suffering from acid indigestion. You know, frown on his face, and I said, "How you doing?" He says, "I guess I'm doing okay." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I got to wait on somebody named Dr. Davis." I said, I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, you know, coming here to preach tonight or something. I heard he preaches long, and so I'm supposed to stand up here and welcome him." I said, "Well, do you know what he looks like?" He said, "No, but I'm sure, you know, he'll come dragging in here in a few minutes." And I said, "Well, you mind if I just stand right here? Because I want to see, you know, what happens when you meet him." So another guy came around the corner. He said, "Hey, good evening, Dr. Davis. How you doing?" And the guy that was standing there, it was a Kodak moment. You know, I mean, his face was redder than an apple. And I turned around and shook his hand, and I said, I just want you to know that I'm so glad to be here too. You know? I didn't even see him in the assembly during the Bible class. He wasn't even in there. We have to be very, very careful about what we say, man, because sometimes you don't even know who is listening and who's watching. I know when you guys are on vacation or you're at a hotel and you have your food in front of you and you thank God for your food, aren't you amazed that people actually come up to you and say, "You know, that was a wonderful prayer." And you're saying, I wasn't talking to you, but they heard you. And they saw. That's a witness, man. That's a witness. And so this last section of scripture just gives me an opportunity to demonstrate that, yes, I belong to Jesus, and I belong to Jesus not only by the way I live, but by how I speak.
Amen.
Now, I've put quite a bit in front of you, and I'm just going to stop right here and just ask you to tell me what you've heard. Because when we deal with adults, many times we kill our members because we kill them death by lecture. And that's horrible. With adults, you have to give them an opportunity to ingest what has been said, and then they should be accorded an opportunity to respond. So I just want to ask you, what have you heard? Because we've put quite a bit in front of you. I read more than 13 passages of scripture into your hearing from Proverbs. Then you heard Matthew, and now you're in James. It's not the fact that we're going everywhere preaching the word, but I'm just trying to support this notion of we have to be very, very careful about what comes out of our mouth. So again, your reaction, please. Yes, sir. Okay, so he's an elder. He gets an A+. Well, that's good. We have to, he says. It's a must. This is not a suggestion. Maybe that's why I'm sweating, because I'm convicted already. Yes, sir. Yes.
But that vile poison is out there, and if you don't be careful and hold it real tight, even if you have to grab it and run it around,
you better
learn how to hold it.
Yes, sir.
I see it destroy people.
Right. I agree. Excellent point. Yes, sir.
I think it's time that
I like this man. You've trained him well, ma'am. You've trained him well. That's an excellent point. That is an excellent point. And this does help us focus in on what we are supposed to be doing. Thank you so very much. Ooh, that was worth the drive from Jacksonville to hear that. That's good. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you get the apple today. That's great. Boy, I'm sure that there are some people who wish that they could call those words back that they've said in times past. But it's too late. You know, once it's out there, then we have to hope, trust, and pray that God will allow us to be reconciled and brought back in. But words do, they hurt. Yes, sir. Indeed. Indeed. Now, I want to say one other thing before I transition to my conclusion. I don't want y'all to get the impression that you back away from the truth because you're not trying to hurt somebody's feelings. See, we need to understand that when Jesus, and we'll talk about this week, when Jesus had the conversation with the woman at the well, he told her in no uncertain terms, you don't even know how to worship. And she did not take her water pot and go home. She stood there and continued in the discussion. When we don't tell people the truth, we're doing them a disservice.
Amen.
When I went to see my doctor and he said, look, if you continue to eat red meat, you're going to have gout from Hades. You know what I did that night? I went out and bought the biggest steak I could find. And you know what happened the next 3 days? I couldn't even walk. And when I went back to see him, he said, I guess you thought I was kidding. He said, I'm trying to help you, Davis. You're getting ready to transition from the Air Force. You have got to get off the red meat. I said, but Doc, you don't understand. He said, no, you. So I tell you what, you want to continue to eat your red meat, you go right ahead. But don't you ever make another appointment to come see me. I could have said, well, you don't like me and you're judging me. And I still would have had gout. And those of you who know about gout, it may not be as bad as gallstones, but I'd put it in the same category.
Amen.
That's bad stuff. Did I see a hand that was over here? I'm just making up stuff. Yes, sir.
We're influenced so much by the world and the profanity that is flying around everywhere, even on TV and whatever. We just don't realize or think about Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, do not use filthy language. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yes. And the coarse jesting. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I wasn't using profanity. Yeah, but you were still being obscene.
Yes.
You were still being rude.
Yes.
And you didn't bring glory and honor to God by what you said. So it just gives us an opportunity, as this brother was saying, we've got to take a look at the man in the mirror. See, these are the kinds of Bible studies you can't sit there and hunt your wife or hunt your husband and say, I'm so glad you're here because you need to hear this. Can't do that. Let's see. I think I'll close with, how much time do I have?
5 minutes.
Good. I think I'll close with this. And you may have heard this before. But we must think before we speak. And let me just give you that acrostic, because I've been hitting on some of these already. First of all, we need to ask, is it true? You know, that's the T. Is it true? Number two, the H, is it helpful? It may very well be true, but is it going to be helpful? You know, that's, and as we run this through a spiritual sifter, then it will give us an opportunity as to what we should say and then what we should not say. So first of all, is it true? Number two, is it helpful? Number three, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? Is this going to encourage this person? It may cause them to do some serious introspection, but they're not going to slap themselves eight times because you said it. It's going to give them an opportunity to grow. Number four, is it necessary? Yeah, I've been wanting to tell you this for the last 20 years. Well, why are you just getting around to it now? I mean, that there are some people that have been, these things have just been bubbling in them for years and years. And then you finally do something to them and then they just say, well, I'm going to have to get you told today. I'm just going to have to tell you what I've been thinking. Just unload. And then you got the carnage. And what if the children are home? And what if they see you in that state? What if they hear you using these words against their mother? Somebody says, well, you know, I'm the head of the house. I can say what I want to say. No, you're not. Because you have to answer to Jesus. And if you want to get a prayer through to Jesus, you better learn how to treat your wife.
Amen.
And then K, what does the K stand for? Yes. Is it kind? See, people get all the way down to the K and then they go, Well, it's not too unkind. Well, then you shouldn't be saying it. So, this is where I wanted to start my discourse with you today. And I'm putting this in the form of a prayer. Because when we go in our prayer closet and we ask God to expand our spirituality and our effectiveness, then we need to ask Him to give us the strength and the spiritual intestinal fortitude to be better, not just to remain maintain the status quo.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, what I'm sharing with you right now, this is not easy. But anything that's worthwhile doing, it is definitely worth the effort. Any other comments that you would like to make about what you've heard this morning?
Thank you for addressing one of the most difficult problems we all have.
Yes, sir. And the reason why is because that's where we all live. And sometimes it's easier to talk about this stuff than to actually do it. Yes, sir.
That's the second bill. I was going to hold you up. That's the second bill.
That's the second one?
Yeah, that's the second bill.
Oh, then I'm done. All right. I finished on time. Yay. Good for me. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.